Meg,
Yes.
you know when you get really bloated or very constipated, do you ever think to yourself, my goodness, I wish there was a little handheld device that I could use to offer myself some relief? Have you ever had this thought?
I've had several thoughts, and I have to admit that's one of
Well, lucky for us, we
them.
actually have one of these things, and it does in fact fit in the palm of your hand.
That's so
This
cool.
device is called Ease, and you can learn about what this is at gowithease.com/curious women. And what it does is it's this incredible tool that has two different acupressure points. And what you do is there are two different areas in the abdomen area where you use this tool to create a little bit of pressure, and using acupressure science, it actually helps relieve constipation, bloating, and menstrual cramps, depending on which end of the device and where on your body you choose to use it. So, Meg, the next time that you're sitting there thinking, my goodness, woe is me, I wish I had something, just remember you can figure this out by going to gowithease.com/curious women.
And the best part is you get 10% off your purchase if you use our code, which is Curious Women. That's where it'll go if you go to that link. So the next time you have one of those food babies, make sure you have an Ease at your hand. So that it really works though. That's the thing. It really works. So
Oh
guys,
my God, it does.
we love this new sponsor of ours. Please go check them out. That's gowithease.com/curious women. I think this episode started out as something in my mind, and it just like blossomed into this whole other thing that's so incredible and amazing. There's so many times I think the both of us, like, we're just like, what? That, how? Huh?
Christina blew me away. I don't know what I was expecting. And normally we meet with the people that we're interviewing at least a little bit before. So like we hear them speak, we know what they look like. And for some reason, we just like our gut told us that this was going to be a perfect interview, and we didn't do that. And
We did not do the vibe check on this one
we did not vibe
at
check. We didn't vibe check, which, you know.
Which we
So
didn't have to.
I thought her demeanor and her humor and her motivation and her drive was hysterical and inspiring all at
Oh,
once. Like it was
so
like,
much.
oh, you're such a light, funny human being, but man, are you grounded in this mission?
And
It
driven,
was really amazing. And so Christina is the owner and founder and inventor of Keg, KEGG, which I'm going to let you speak to quickly, Meg, because you know.
So Keg is this cool little tool. And so the way Christina explains it is that she basically put sensors on an intimate device. And so before I spoke to her in this episode, the way I would explain it to people is like it's kind of like a tracker that I sort of think of using it like a tampon, like you insert it for 2 minutes into your vagina and it takes a reading. You can do Kegel exercises with it, which Christina gets into. So I'm an avid user of Keg, and one of the reasons we wanted to bring Christina on is because, again, it's another tool that women can use to collect data about their own bodies to inform them about their health. And in this episode, Christina makes it very clear that there's a lot of red tape as far as how far she can go and Keg can go with what information they can, like what they can say about the data. And obviously, it's not meant to self-diagnose, but I have found it personally very helpful. And I just think it's a great way to track your cycle and know more about your body. I mean, it's fabulous.
I think the thing that was the most interesting for me was the viewpoint that she was explaining, in that we have a way to track now so many parts of our health, and they're very easily accessible, right? There is the Whoop, there's the Oura Ring, there's the Fitbit, there's like all the things on your phone, there's step counters, but there's nothing that tracks and informs and collects data for you about your vaginal health, about your reproductive health. I mean, not that there aren't things that can provide information and insight, but it's not easily accessible. And that's the thing that this really changed. I mean, you'll hear her explain how you can use it to help you get pregnant. You'll hear her explain how you can use it as a part of helping you prevent pregnancy. And the disclaimer. And you
there's
can
a disclaimer along with that.
She'll explain also how you can use it to collect data that might help you feel more empowered going into an appointment about your gynecological health. And, you know, I think the point you said, Meg, was really important, that none of this is meant to be used to self-diagnose. And there's a lot of red tape, but man, just having information for your own sake, whether or not you're taking it to your doctor, can be very, very empowering, you know, to just organize things and have some sort of input to help inform what sort of changes you'd like to make. So we were very fortunate to have Christina agree to come on. I mean, it's not common that you get somebody who will agree to come chat with normal people about what they're doing. So Christina, huge shout out and thanks to you. And then Meg, do you want to explain, we talk about this in the episode, but we're going to do it here too. We're doing a little contest.
We are. Yeah, this is so fun. So we are going to give you a question in this episode. We're not going to give you the answer to the question, because what you're going to do, they're going to pick two winners. Keg is going to pick two winners, or Christina is going to pick two winners. One winner is going to receive a free copy of a book that she really loves about your menstrual cycle. It's called Fix Your Period. The other winner is actually going to win a free keg, which is really, I mean, both are really cool. Don't get me wrong, but like, I mean, it's just
incredible.
Awesome. Incredible offer.
Super generous. Yeah. Super generous.
Yeah. So all you have to do is listen for the question and then go on your social media profiles and answer the question. And we'll tell you more detail about how to do that. But the important thing you want to know is you're going to have to tag Keg, which we dropped their handle. That's going to be in the show notes. And we say it in the episode as well. And tag us too, because we want to play along and we want to see the answers that come up. But this is going to require some homework. So we don't give you the answer in the episode. You just got to, as we've been saying today, go to the Goog.
Give a Goog.
give it a Goog.
And it's an easy one.
I think so too. It's an interesting question, but easy, I think. And then the other thing is that I am a personal user of Keg. So you can certainly, if it's in the market for you, you decide you want to use it as a tool for yourself. We do have an affiliate link that you can, if you want to purchase the device, you can. We ask that you purchase through our link, because Kylie and I benefit from it to help support this show. So it's a way you can get your tool that's going to be really helpful for you, but also help support Kylie and I and the work that we do. So that would be greatly appreciated as well. And we'll put that link in the show notes too, so that you have that.
Yeah. Enjoy Christina's interview.
Yeah. I'm really excited to dive into our conversation today, but we have Christina here with us today. She's the founder of Keg, which is a really cool tool that we're going to talk a lot about. And I know we've been doing a few episodes lately about that feature devices, and they sound a lot like an ad. I promise you they are not. They're just, Kylie and I just have found things that we really like, and we wanted to share with you all and form an episode around those things. So we will get into talking about that. But before we get started, I think Kylie and I and the audience, the rest of the people listening, Christina, would love to just hear your story. How did you get into this field? How did Keg become how did it become birth? Like, tell us the whole thing.
So probably like every woman who is listening to this, I was gaslighted by my doctors all the time. And I had painful periods, like in a way that I woke up in the night from the pain. Ugh. Or, you know, like really painful. Since I got my first period when I was 15, and since then I never ever had a regular period. My periods were 26 to 72 days, and you could never know when it's going on what. And of course, the answer has always been, hey, get on a pill. And of course I tried, but it drew me crazy and I can't tolerate the pill, and it actually really causes depression for me. So I can't do that. And at the same time, I I'm not a huge fan of copper IUD. And it also causes blood clots and problems with a lot of women. So, you know, like, it's a constant struggle since you're a teenager until ever when you want to live a pain-free life,
mm-hmm.
not have a side effect, but also live like a woman and not get pregnant. You know, like...
The struggle.
Yeah, it's like the struggle. And I have to say, in 10 years, I lived in 9 different countries. So
wow.
I really tried OBGYNs in mm-hmm. a lot of different cultures. And so, you know, but the experience is more or less everywhere the same. Mine is in the United States, where healthcare is really mostly self-pay. yeah.
I'm laughing because it's, that's something Kylie and I talk about all the time. It's a real pain point for us.
It's a pain point. Like, they don't call it in the United States a self-pay. They call it deductible, which yeah. in effect is self-pay.
Right. I know. That's the magic word, the little sneaky word that they throw in there. Kylie's dying.
They call it a deductible.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, but it's just in the end, like, I, you know, when I came here, I didn't even understand the concept. I was like, why do I pay? I have insurance. And
then... I'm crying. I'm laughing.
I think a lot of us Americans ask ourselves the same question.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. To me as a foreigner, it's still ridiculous.
Yeah.
But like, long story short, we lived with my husband in London before here, and then he was transferred by his company to United States, and I came along, and when you come on a spouse visa, you can't work for the first 3 months, and then you can work.
Okay.
And so all my life I have been working, you know, I never have 3 months, like, you can't do anything. And you can't even interview because people don't want to interview if you don't have a work permit.
Mm.
So I thought, I have 3 months, I will do something that I never had time to do. I will figure out my crazy periods.
Wow.
I know.
It's like the most productive use of 3 months.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. We all need like a period vacation just to figure out what the hell's going on.
I know.
Period leave.
You know, you never have time. Every year I lived in a different country, you know, like, you always are busy and it's like, you know, tolerate the pain. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, let's just figure it out. And my husband works for one of the best companies in the world for care. In the tech companies, and they say they have the best healthcare insurance. So I was like, let's see it. I will not go into details about how horrible I found the whole system here, but I'll just tell you that. And I was like calling the doctor, and I was like, I have irregular periods, can you help me? And then they were like, oh, sure. So, you know, like, do you want a birth control? And which one? I was like, I don't want a birth control. And then it was Kaiser Permanente, and I will name them because I think name them and shame them. And
that's the only insurance company in this area, in DC. That's the only one you can get. Yeah, no, I'm insured in Pennsylvania, so thank God. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they said something like, I was speaking to a nurse, and she was like, no, we will send you birth control. If it doesn't work, we will send you a different one via mail. And I was like, what? You will not even take my blood work done before you prescribe me birth control, and you will just prescribe some general one? Like, are you crazy? And I asked her, like, are you crazy? What if I get blood clots? And
good for you.
Said, no, this is how we do it in this country. I was like,
Oh, God.
This is so refreshing to hear an outside perspective. Like, this perspective is wonderful to share because that is everybody's experience here. That's everybody's experience here.
It's crazy, you know? Like, I mean, like, you can die.
Christina asked the doctor, are you crazy?
But really, you know, and then...
I just love it.
Yeah, so I was like, no, thank you. And then I was, like, complaining to them, and...
I could just see you being like, no, thank you. Click. Like... that's the end of it.
Yeah, I was like, can I speak to a doctor? Because she was a nurse practitioner. I was like, okay. No, I want to speak to a doctor. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I couldn't. But they told me, like, to make an appointment and talk to, I was like, okay, I did. And I talked to the doctor. And then she was like, I came there and I told her how horrible that is. Like, what on earth? Like, you know, the nurse could kill me. And then she told me that. Like, if I'm not trying to conceive, there is nothing they can do for me because, you know, I would need a reproductive endocrinologist.
Oh, Jesus.
So what? So you will not do anything?
Yeah.
So it was like, at the time, you know, this self-pay thing I didn't understand, or this deductible. And then she was like, so you can pay out of pocket and go to this specialist because you're not trying to conceive. If I didn't know at the time, I just should have said, I'm trying to conceive and it would be covered.
You know what? That is, if there's no other golden nugget that people take from this episode,
that might be one.
Get your explorative period services covered by saying you're trying to conceive,
exactly.
Even if you're not.
Exactly.
It's bullshit, but if it works, fine.
Like, you can't get a reproductive endocrinologist if you don't say, I'm trying to get pregnant.
That infuriates me. Like, to my core, and I understand it's because I am somebody who's by choice chosen not to have children, but mm-hmm. I still want to know what's going on with my cycle. But I've also felt the same, what would you even call it? It's like, it's almost like discrimination, kind of. Like, it's like,
it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm, this fucking infuriates me. Go on. Yeah. I'm just pissed.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, but like, the doctor told me I paid for it and I got a bill for this consultation, $750.
Oh my God.
And I was like, that must be a mistake somewhere. I have insurance. And and I was told that, you know, I can go and monitor cycles and so on, but it would really, really help them if I would understand my cervical fluid. And I was like, cervical what?
What is that?
And thus Keg was born.
And so I was so frustrated. I was like, so they always kill me, then they send me to a doctor that I have to pay for, and then they tell me that I should trick something like saliva that even comes from my vagina, and I have no idea what is arousal fluid and whatnot, and sperm, and then like just figure it out.
So I felt
horrible.
Yeah. I'm sure.
All the while, you're actually physically feeling unwell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But imagine, like, you pay, you know, at that time for me, I was living in Taiwan, China, Europe, many places. And everywhere you go, they try to help you. And here they charge you $750 to tell you, like, go check your cervical.
How accurately that depicts things in this country. That is so funny.
Cool. Like, that's really stupid. And it's unfair. And just, you know, like, what do you do? Like, you either die or what? So then I started to think about it. And I always had worked in tech. Always. Mm-hmm. So I started to work for one company. I was doing the shuttle bus. Shuttle bus always stopped by a sex shop. And so, you know, like, one day after work, I was working there and I was looking at all the sex toys and I was like, why on earth one of them can't be smart and just tell me what's going on in my vagina?
Oh my God. That's such a brilliant idea. So this is the first moment that, like, the preconception of Keg morphed. That's amazing. From a sex toy.
Yeah, exactly. So I went to the store, I was talking. Yeah, because, you know, like, you guys, you know, like, we use other things than penises in our vagina.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, there is no excuse when we have Fitbits, Aura rings, these and so monitors, glucose monitors, and then we have vagina, and we do nothing with it. We only put there something without any sensors.
I never thought of this before. You've blown my mind. Like, I mean,
that's
so true. Oh my God.
Wow.
Like, yeah, so that's, and then, you know, like, then it really, like, went, I was Googling, like, you know, the technology that they use at the hospital, like, why we can't have that vibrator, like, why, and so on, and then I was like, the only reason why not is because no one made it, and that's just stupid, you know?
That's amazing. It is stupid.
It's stupid. So, you know, like I'm not a scientist. I didn't invent the technology. I used an existing sensing technology, medical technology, and I put it on an intimate device that vibrates. You know, so it's like not a rocket science, but like what it really does to women is that it finally enables you to have data on your vagina without really going to a doctor a lot. So like what I really am for, there is like the whole problem that FDA regulates how much data I can give to women, so they can't self-diagnose. So like there is a lot of data that we can't yet display to our users, but mm-hmm. we are working on regulatory ways so we can display to them more data. But I really just believe...
Can I ask you a quick question about that?
Yeah.
You're saying that the FDA will not allow you to provide the person with their own information that your device is collecting?
Yeah.
Why?
The reason for it is that you can't let users to self-diagnose because, and it's true for all the devices, it is because they're trying to prevent self-diagnosing. And it's true for good reasons, you know, when you have, for example, when you have Oura Ring, they don't give you exact numbers, but they give you some factors or whatever they call them, but they don't give you exact numbers.
Okay.
Mm. And it's because of that. So, you know, like the people don't diagnose themselves with heart attacks or depression or COVID or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Still, it seems a little like I want the exact numbers, you know, like that's I did not know that that's what it was. Next, and I'm very upset about it. Okay, good. All right, good.
So, you know, like, yeah, there is a way how to do it, and we are working on it because I really believe that we should own our data. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like it's mine, and here I go, you know, like it empowers me. So, you know, I understand what's wrong. I understand because, for example, right now, the device really can, when you have the data, you can really more or less tell that if a woman has PCOS, for example, or if she is prone to infections or all these things. But you know, there is one thing that data has, and then there's something that you can say. So, you know, like the claims are very regulated. So what we give women right now is their data about their fertile windows and their overall trends. But mm-hmm. we are working and we are doing a lot of research for that so we can provide them with more information. And I really want one day that you have a product that you really love to use and you understand when you can conceive, but also when your cervical fluid inhibits sperm from movement, so, you know, you virtually can't conceive. When your vaginal environment is prone to infection, so, you know, like you can avoid it. When, you know, when you are prone to other cervical conditions and more or less you have hormonal trends over time, so when you go to a doctor, they will not gaslight you like, you just feel this way, you know, take the pill, but like, hey, I have a data.
Mm-hmm. Look, so empowering.
You know, like this is off. See, like I really think I have PCOS. I really think I have endo. Can you mm-hmm. do something with it? You know, like so you don't go there empowered with your own data. Like stop telling me this BS about the pill. Look,
wow,
yeah.
My hormones are all over the place.
So let me ask you, because I love this idea of going to the doctors in general with empowered with data. And although Keg is a really cool tool to be able to do that and show, you could do that even on your own. Yes. Like if you just tracked your cervical fluid and brought it to them and said like, hey, this is my pattern of thickness and like what it, exactly. you know, so I want you to finish your story and I want us to get, so, but the next thing if I could, Kylie, if you don't have anything to jump in with, is I would love to talk about first how to manually track your cervical fluid and other methods. And then we can go from there.
Yeah. So there are different ways how women track cervical fluid. In ideal world, you would get a chemical composition of cervical fluid every day. Mm-hmm. Or you would get Keg.
Right. Yep.
That would be able to tell you all the information once FDA let us tell all the information. But like in the real world, where people, you know, like not everyone can buy a product, not everyone wants to buy a product. So there are a lot of people that are teaching this knowledge online. But I have to say, like, it's very challenging, especially if you have irregular cycles.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you have regular cycles, you can at least learn the patterns, what they say. Like, they have a different classification, like slippery, wet, transparent, mm-hmm. stretchy.
Egg white, does this mean? That kind exactly. of thing. Yeah, I had no idea what any of that meant until I actually saw it. But I didn't know until I, like, yeah. When you have, like you're saying, when you have periods that are far and few between or irregular, mm-hmm. you don't know what looks like what.
Yeah. And especially like if you have like very regular period, like your body is gearing up to ovulate many times or maybe never. Yeah. And then what is this? Like, is it really egg white? It actually can be, but then you fail to ovulate and then you'll do it later on in your cycle.
Yeah. So, Kylie, have you ever tried this method? Have you ever tried tracking your cervical fluid?
I've never tracked it specifically, but I've said this before, I'm very, very lucky. My cycles have always been very regular, and I do know I can tell from the cervical mucus when things are happening. But Meg, to your point, it's because it happens the same way every month. So there's something concrete that I can use as a really fair comparison. It's not this like few and far between.
Yeah.
But no, I have never actually really done the detailed work of tracking it. So.
Cool.
Yeah, so I was curious. Here I would just promote some influencers that promote free knowledge online. One of them is Instagram handle called Chart Your Fertility. She's a very good one. Okay. And another one is called Period Guru.
Period what?
Guru.
G-U-R-U?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see. I'm looking them up now. Oh, something's funny with
these two. Like, I think like if you would just want to start with your basic knowledge about your cycle, like just follow them, and they also share details, and they also provide lives about how to track your cervical fluid by yourself, what are the other methods, and so on. So, you know, like it's very good educative content.
That's great.
I love that. I feel like, does Eleni do that too, Kylie?
I don't remember.
Or Jillian probably would be a good option for that too. Jillian Greaves. Mm-hmm. We did an episode on the menstrual cycle, and she's a registered dietitian, and that is her work, that she helps women get to know their cycles and work with their cycles. So our listeners, you could probably check out her page as well if you need more.
Yeah, guys, you should put the handles in the episode description so people can click on them and follow.
100%.
They will be there.
They will.
Yep, yeah. They'll be there. Mm-hmm. Go follow them. They'll be there.
Yeah. What were you talking about? Like, but there are like many, many different things how you can track your fertility. I would just like give women caution that it's difficult, and you know, you have to really be dedicated to do it, especially if you have irregular cycles. When you have regular cycles, it's way easier to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can I just clarify for everybody listening quickly? We're talking about a way to track your cycle and tell when you are able to be pregnant and when you most likely are unable to get pregnant based on the cervical fluid.
Right.
So I think that just to back it up, this is a new concept for a lot of people. And that's why.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I think this conversation is so important. Because to your point, Christina, a lot of people are told if you're on the pill, you can't get pregnant. When you come off of it, you'll probably go through a long period of time where your body is adjusting, so you don't really have to worry about it, and then people get pregnant. Or they're told, come off it and just wait until you start cycling again, and it'll be fine, and then they can't get pregnant for years. And so I guess the point here is that there's an option out there that birth control, no birth control, want to get pregnant, not want to get pregnant, none of those details need to matter. The point is that you get to have information about what's happening in your body from the fluid. And that is a very important thing that I think people, you know, before I was in this particular realm, I never knew that either. Because we're not taught.
Neither
I was never taught that. Never.
No.
Never, never.
Nope. Nope. Never in a million years.
At schools, it's taught from a very male perspective that you have this macho sperm that fights all these obstacles. And then, you know, it's the winner. And, you know, it's not true.
Oh, my God. Oh, that is so, I'm dying because it's hilarious, because you're so right to put it that that's a very male perspective. Also, nobody seems to mention that there are millions of these things in one shot and only one of them makes it to the end. Like, come on now.
It's not true, you know, like in reality, the way how conception works is that like we women select the sperm. That is why we have cervical fluid. You know, the cervical fluid nurtures sperm, but also inhibits the sperm that have, you know, a genetic anomaly from moving. So it's not this macho sperm that fought all these obstacles. You know, it's like us women guarding, you know, the offsprings. Like, so we have like good genetic, you know, material. So
I mean, I'm not done laughing so about this. Funny. It's not like some macho sperm that fought the good fight.
That's true.
You're right. Now.
Tell us.
This is how we are taught. This is how we're taught. But
right,
there is. You guys should check out the website, Keg's website, because there's a great graphic that shows certain cervical fluid prevents sperm from being able to move through it.
Yeah,
and certain cervical fluid, like to your point, assists. It's really us. Yeah. We're doing the work. Once again, we're doing the work.
It's all us. It's all of, it's all women and the cervical fluid.
You know, like we are kind of told it's cool that, oh my gosh, like, you know, guys can like make a pregnant anytime because they have amazing sperm or whatever. In reality, it's not like that. And it's like very complicated. And to your point, Kylie, then women get off birth control waiting for this, you know, testosterone coming and making them pregnant, and they realize this is not how it works. Mm-hmm. It really is not, you know, like, yes, you have to have a good genetic material from the guy, but you have to make sure that you're healthy, because one of the functions of your body is like, if it's not healthy, it prevents you from getting pregnant because it's protecting you. So when you want to get pregnant, you have to fix yourself. So, you know, like, it's not like, hey, you know, like, I'm off the birth control, make me pregnant. It really doesn't work. And, you know, we have a lot of users like that. I was on birth control 8 years, then I got off it. I realized I have low ovarian reserve and I don't do this and that, and now I can't conceive. And I was like, what, this idiotic doctor let you be on birth control for 8 years? Never checking for anything. Like, I would put this doctor in a jail, seriously.
Well, and you know what? Yeah, the thing is, it comes from this. It's such a conflicted cycle, because on one side, it's like, empower women. You get to be on birth control. You get to decide. It's your choice, which is all true and fine. But then that gets...
If it's a choice.
If it's a choice. And I think, to me, a choice can't be made when it's the only option presented. That's not a choice.
Yeah.
That's,
and all the information isn't given.
And full disclosure on all of the things and all of the options. Yeah. And then, it's your choice. But I think you're right. Yeah. You can't consider it a choice when it's not. When it's the only option.
And when the, you know, you are 15, you go to the doctor and they put you on a pill, because why not? You know, like, it shouldn't be like that. I mean, and especially right now when so many women have been on birth control for ages, and now we have infertility, and now people realize that because they were on a pill or birth control or IUD, their symptoms were always masked. But when they go off, the symptoms are back, because the birth control is not a cure. The IUD is not a cure. It just conceals the problem. And here, because when we are talking about concealing the problem, I would promote this book of Nicole Jardim, which is called Fix Your Period. And if you want to mention the you can do.
Yeah,
it's like a great book that really educates. It's written by a doctor, like this Nicole, and she has studied periods all the life, and she really digs into this, like, birth control is great. Like, in all honesty, guys, birth control is great, right? But it has to be a choice, and it has to be at a certain time in life. It shouldn't be like 10 years. Like, that's not a good thing. And it really goes through the cycle and the symptoms and how you can live better and how can you fix your period, hence fix your other health problems.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So I'm gonna get that book. I can't wait to do that. And if you guys listening want to get this book, the three of us, actually it was Christina's idea. I can't take any credit for this, but it's a fun little challenge. And so continue listening to the episode, do your own research. But by the end, we want you to answer the question, go on your social media and answer the question, how many times on average per lifetime does a woman bleed? And when you do that, post your answer online, tag Keg. It's the hash or the tag sign, the at sign, KEGG. Women bleed
underscore
on
DECH.
Underscore Keg. T. Yes. Okay. Keg Tech. Perfect. Let me make sure we'll put that in the show notes. And respond with your answer, and then say something cute, like, I know this because of Keg, and then tag them. And so they're going to choose two people who answer this question, and one is going to get this book that Christina was telling us about, Fix Your Period, and one is actually going to get a Keg, which is so cool. Yes. They're both cool.
So cool. Meg, do you have
such
one
a fun
people?
Idea. I do. It's right here.
Yeah. And so you could get a Keg, but also, I mean, guys, like, then people were really, like, asking you, why are you telling us that you're getting your period in life this many times? And then you can tell them, because it's important.
It is.
And so on, you know, like, just, I don't want to say shock them, but normalize it.
Normalize it. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's the point, is to normalize it. And we're not going to give the answer away in this episode.
No.
We're not going to tell you. So it'll pump you up to do a little bit of research. But so, okay, Christina, what is Keg?
Yeah, so as I said, Keg is an intimate device. It's a pelvic floor trainer equipped with sensors to track your cervical fluid. So you can exercise your pelvic floor with it, and it tracks your cervical fluid. Most of our customers, they use the product because they are trying to conceive and they have challenging cycles. And for them, classic options on the market like LH test don't work. They really need to understand where their cervical fluid is most fertile. And we don't measure like what people like do, like, hey, this is egg white and sticky, but we really go into detail of the structure of cervical fluid. And through electrical current, actually, in high frequencies, we measure the electrolytes in your fluid. So in very simple words, is what we talked about, how can sperm really penetrate it? Like when the cervical fluid is becoming very hospitable to sperm, and it usually occurs before LH test turns positive. So what it gives to women who are trying to conceive is like it's before, like they're, you know, the time extends. But also, for example, what Maggie will know, like women with PCOS may have multiple fertile windows. Mm-hmm. So you have to focus on multiple fertile windows or none at all. You can also have none at all, which is also a very powerful information, because when you see like your data are just flat, yeah, that, you know, like you have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like this is what we give to women. And on that note, I want to mention that we have a community of users where you can join and just ask. And, you know, you can also reach out to us, customer support. And because I have been through this journey, by the way, guys, I also miscarried 4 times and I'm currently pregnant.
Ah! Wow! Congratulations!
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, so I know, like, how our users feel very well. You know,
we oh my
have,
gosh.
Like, if this doesn't work for you, like, you know, you get money back. Like, like, I wouldn't say, like, no questions asked. We have to ask questions about, like, hey, this technology doesn't work, whatever. But I really wanted women to try it, because for most women, it works. As opposed to, like, thinking, oh, you know, like, I will save this money. Because I know this self-pay ICA deductible is pretty expensive.
People, I think I saw people can use their FSA to purchase this though, right?
Exactly.
Like their, but yeah.
Yeah.
But so if you have
like returns, like I got a divorce, I don't have a, you know, a husband to get pregnant and we refunded her, you know, like
right.
I get it. I am a woman too. I know it's terrible. So I already have women to have a chance to try it, as opposed to like giving in like few more months and then figuring out like my egg quality is low. It's too late. So, you know, it's better earlier than later.
So one of the things that you were saying earlier when we were chatting, I think is going to paint the picture of this really well. This is essentially like a Fitbit for your vagina.
Yeah.
You're,
more or less. But you know, like, again, thanks to FDA, you know, it's regulated what we say. So, you know, like right now we are talking about fertile windows. But I can tell to users right now that we are working on research to also look into infections and other hormonal conditions and so on. Because, you know, I told Meg and Kylie, unfortunately, I have to say, unfortunately, we are the first company that put a medical sensors on intimate device. So, you know, before it was only done in hospitals. So we are really the first company that has any medical data on vaginas on a large scale. And so, of course, we want to give women way more data to empower themselves. So we work with researchers, and we are going to expand the functionality of the product.
That's amazing. And can you just show us what it looks like, either one of you? So if you guys are listening,
let's both show. We'll both show.
You can check out on YouTube. Yes, there you go. So it's just this little.
And it comes with a cute little stand and a charger.
Oh my gosh.
It just sits like this. So what's funny is when my husband saw this in my drawer, he goes, why is there a giant sperm sitting in our drawer?
Amazing.
And I was like, that, my love, is my new toy.
You know, I have it in my bathroom. I have a ceramic hand, like it's a hand holder like this.
Oh, cute. Yeah,
to me, it's like normal, you know.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes when visitors come and they use bathrooms, sometimes they ask, and then they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. For most people, it's a shocker.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, not in my house, and not in your house either, apparently.
So you just take this little, the little egg shaped side of it, and you insert that, and those sensors are picking up on the electrolytes of the cervical fluid, and that's how we get information.
Exactly. Yeah. So it takes like 2 minutes a day, really.
Okay.
And this is Bluetooth, which is outside of body.
Okay.
So, you know, like it's completely wireless. It's biocompatible. It's like waterproof, everything, all the tests we have done on it. And the electrodes are actually gold plated with real gold for conductivity reasons. So like it's very easy to maintain. Last charged, like mine last charged for a month.
Oh, wow.
So it's like really good. Good build. And it just takes 2 minutes and it's really nice. And, you know, the way how it works, like I do it in the mornings. I used to do it in the evenings, but now I do it in the mornings when I brush my teeth. And you like exercise your pelvic floor for 2 minutes, done with, you know, the teeth, and you take it out and then.
Tell us what you mean by exercise the pelvic floor.
Yeah, so the reason why I put it in the pelvic floor trainer is because most of women, they neglect their pelvic floor. And pelvic floor is a set of muscles that you have around your pelvic part, like vagina and around. And it really holds the weight of all your intestines and everything all the time. When you're pregnant, it also carries the weight of the baby. Mm-hmm. And so most women for the first time realize they have a pelvic floor after they deliver the baby and they have troubles. So I want my community and our users to exercise their pelvic floor so down the line, once they have a baby and deliver, they don't have these problems, because it's a, again, self-pay.
Self-pay. Deductible.
It's self-pay. Your deductible will be used to fix this problem. And so by problems, is one of them something that comes to my mind? I'm wondering, are you talking about like after you deliver, it's very common to like pee a little when you laugh, like that kind of stuff is because of the pelvic floor? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. You go on trampoline and you jump and you pee yourself.
Yeah.
You have sex and it's not that pleasurable. So, you know, you can have amazing sex when you have good pelvic floor, like really stronger orgasms. And you really only appreciate it once you have a strong pelvic floor, because before you don't know. So, our users, they don't buy us for this aspect, but I really want these users to take care of their pelvic floor, because I don't want to say they will thank me later, but yes, they will.
But I think they will. Exactly.
The Kegel fairy godmother has joined us on the podcast today, everybody.
No, but you know, like, people are like, why I'm peeing myself after I had a baby? And I'm like, yeah, because, you know, you go to yoga, you exercise everything, you should exercise your vagina.
Right.
Yep.
You know, we have a pelvic floor physical therapist coming on in 2 or 3 weeks, so this is perfect.
So
all
excited.
Of this will kind of blend together and people can cross-reference. So it's really, really important stuff.
And there are like different muscles and different types of exercises. And what Keg is like doing is like the very basic one just for wellness. But in future versions, like we want to have a different mode. Because like there are different types of muscles, different types of exercises that you could do. So that's something that I really want to expand on in future versions. And also one of the aspects that we are looking into is like extending to postpartum when people breastfeed, you know, because that's when they have the problems, that's when the hormones are again crazy. And many women after they deliver the baby, they don't want to go back to birth control. So they're looking at Keg like, can we use it to conceive?
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes.
You know, like, so that's, that's the aspect that we're looking into. But, like, we need more research to, like, you know, give claims. So we are working on it. But I really would like to support women in postpartum. Postpartum, breastfeeding, the time after pregnancy. That would be great.
Wow. Yeah.
So oh my gosh. This is going to be, this is a tool that is obviously super, super informative for people who are trying to conceive, because it will help you understand when the time actually is. But I love what you're making a point here. What about if you want to make sure that you cannot conceive? Meg. Yeah. I didn't want to call you out, but since you're doing it.
I'm raising my hand. I'm like, me.
We are not certified to be used as a birth control, okay? So you can't buy cake to use it as a birth control.
Right.
But I really want to have this discussion with FDA down the line, create a slightly different interface for the product, and ask FDA, like, do studies, like, for, because, you know, when you want to have this claim, you have to have, like, 10,000 of users in different age groups, so you show the efficacy. So, you know, like, down the line, that's one of the things that we are looking into. But also right now, our fertile window displays 5 days. But in reality, for some women, it's like actually 3 days. Mm-hmm. And for women, it's actually 7 days. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, before we go there, we have to, like, make it more individual. Right now, the 5 days, we do by default, but we want to expand. So, you know, like, what it can do for you, however, in this category is that when you do manual cervical fluid tracking, you know, Keg can be like, let me.
Which, can you just tell us what that is for people who are not familiar with manual cervical fluid tracking?
So when you're charting your cervical fluid, like if it's slippery, how do I feel, you know, color and stretchiness, to understand where your body is like changing the cervical fluid to the one that actually helps sperm survive. And at that moment, any sperm that is inside you will survive for a long time and can get into your reproductive system, eventually being able to fertilize the egg. So you understand this time. That's why you're tracking the cervical fluid. Like, you take it out. There are different ways how you take it out from your vagina. Some people just wipe and take it from the toilet paper. And you also chart the sensation. But for many women, it's difficult. So they use Keg as, like, I do it manually. But I also would like to see some real electrolyte trends so I can compare it. And so I believe that for many women, it just, the learning curve of manual with Keg is just faster, because you have some other data that you can put on top of your manual charting. And we have a lot of content about this on our website, you know, people who do it manually, but also use Keg data to, you know, like, just feel more confident in their observation.
I love that you said that, because as a Keg user myself and somebody who does the manual tracking and the Keg tracking, when I was learning, as I mentioned, I didn't know what the difference, like, I had no idea, like, is this egg white or is this like, what is happening? Yeah. Like, what is going on? But there was a couple of times where the Keg would tell me that the, like, my trend would go up. So I would supposedly meaning that I was nearing ovulation, and it, and I was like, oh, it does look a little bit more like stick, like egg whitey. Like, I can see the difference that I would not have noticed if I wasn't also comparing it to something else. And at first I was a little like, oh, is this like convincing me? Like, maybe, I don't really know, you know, but it's scientific data that you're taking. It's not like, you know, you're being influenced by something that's out of nowhere. You're still real data from your body. So I love that you offered that combination method to do both.
And also, Mike, you probably know, you know, many women have fertile, like, so cervical fluid also before their period.
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
I learned that. That's new for me.
Like, it's a lot of things to, like, get into knowing, like, at the first time. So it's like a lot of process. And I just think, like, we should have better tools. Like, guys, we have tools for sleeping and tools for exercising and tools for everything.
Tracking our
food.
Why
don't we just have a little?
I agree. When you think about it that way, it really is glaringly obvious. Like, that there should be something in the space. Christina, I have a question about people who think that they might have PCOS or endometriosis and they're using this product. What are some of the things, and I want to be very clear and repeat this is not going to be diagnosing, and you shouldn't be using this device to help diagnose. But if somebody, like you were saying, wanted to come in armed with some evidence, armed with some resources about what their body's actually doing, what is it that KEG will show that might be indicative of, oh, hey, this is a problem? Like, what physically might that look like?
Yeah, so we display women chart of electrolytes, and we also give and it also we also give women an information how the chart of Halti cycle looks like. So, you know, we have users, especially those that are trying to conceive, and they start and they have like multiple fertile windows, so they know like this is probably not okay. And many use prenatals. Prenatals can help a lot, depends which ones. Some go through IUI, some take Clomid, which we think letrozole is better, but, you know, or letrozole to normalize their cycle. And so, like, they see, like, the changes of the cycle over time. So when then you compare the cycles one on top of each other, you see, like, it was flat. Then I had, like, a small fertile window. Then I had two, and now I have this big fertile window, and I conceived.
Oh. Did you use so this cool. to help yourself conceive?
Okay. Again, disclaimer. I used this not to get pregnant for years before, but I know how to treat my cervical fluid. I understand that it can be, the fertile window can be 5 days or even 10 days. It really depends on cervical fluid. So I understand how to use my product. Again, I don't want people just to rely on it as a birth control. We are not certified as a birth control, and it will not work for you because fertile window is more than 5 days or less.
Very important.
Right now, take this place. And then I switched to, you know, like, now I'm going to get pregnant. And because of all the problems that I had, polycystic ovaries and endometriosis and so on, it just took me a while because, you know, I was just, like, more likely to miscarry. Like, one thing that you know about polycystic ovaries is that diet changes a lot, you know? Like, you can really do yourself a favor that you know, like, hey, I'm going to try to conceive. To mature an egg inside you, it takes 6 months. So what you can do to maximize your chances is, like, I know I'm going to conceive in, you know, 6 months or seven. I want to start trying. So right now I will start taking prenatals that increase the health of my eggs, quality of my eggs. So when I have PCOS, I mean, 6 months from now, you know, my egg quality can be worse than other women. Right now I'm doing something, so then it's easier.
Right.
So, you know, when you know about it, you can mitigate a lot of problems. And of course, you know, then I increase my quality of my eggs, then I try to conceive, I miscarried and miscarried and miscarried. But, you know, eventually, like, now I'm pregnant, and it's just because, you know, I took care of myself. I, at that time, I was already eating prenatals for like 10 months. I was on a keto diet before because I had polycystic ovaries and insulin resistance. And yeah, it worked. So it's doable. Everyone's
so amazing. You know? And I think what you're saying here is, like, yes, your product helped you, but you aren't claiming to be the magic wand, right? You're saying prenatals are super important. Nutrition is super important. I'm going to tell you super ironically, our next two interviews that we will be releasing. So if you guys are starting to feel very interested in this, please stay tuned. We've got Ayla Barmer coming on, who is the developer of Full Well Prenatal Vitamins, as well as Lily Nichols, who wrote Nutrition and Pregnancy. So we're going to nail in on both of those topics following this. So if you are not trying to conceive right now, we still see you. It's okay.
That's all right. I'm representing the club.
Yeah.
It's all right. We coming
both
from
are.
A place of curiosity.
Yeah, this is still really, I mean, we were talking about this at the beginning too. This is still information that as women, we should know. And whether or not we plan on implementing it now or in the future, we will be around other women who will want to use this, who will need and who deserve to have this information. And so arming ourselves with it so that we can be a support for our loved ones who will really want to use this. Or if we change our mind and whatever it might be in our lives, right? It really is about getting the information that we didn't even know existed for us to know about out. Yeah. That's what I love about this.
And I think, Kylie, it's a very different thing. You know, if I was uneducated, if I wouldn't have the knowledge, I would be like, oh, I'm trying to conceive now, and the first cycle didn't work, second cycle didn't work, and so on. But I was going into it my awareness that I have endo and PCOS. So I knew normal women, like no health problems at all, regular cycles. If she has unprotected sex all the time, her chances of conception is just like 25%. And you know that she has like no problems whatsoever, you know, like this macho sperm again, like didn't work. And you know, it's not what they told us. It's cool, like, you know, like you'll get pregnant like this. You know, it's kind of 1 in 4 for healthy women. If you have conditions like me, it takes longer. But when you go into it with armed information that I know on the first, if the first 4 months I'm not pregnant, you know, like it's still normal. The first thing you have to figure out is timing. Most women time it with LH test. I have to tell you, the more irregular you are, the older you are, the less likely this is going to work. Because LH tests, what we see is like they become positive like very early with ovulation, whereas the most fertile cervical fluid is like days ahead. And research tells us like the most likely you are to conceive when your cervical fluid nurtures the sperm muscle, like the sperm is already there. So you have to switch the thinking, especially the older you are.
Oh, wow. That's really confusing and overwhelming.
There's something else with LH testing too for PCOS women. Like something keeps LH like kind of normal. Not normal, but like flatlined. Like it doesn't spike the way that it is supposed to if you have PCOS. I mean, not all the time, right? But that can give you like a lot of false readings where you could, this has happened to me some cycles where I had a positive reading like the whole cycle. I was like, what?
Yeah. That's very common for you, for women with PCOS, because their levels are higher. So exactly the same in my case. Yep. LH test positive all the time.
Wow. Like, all the time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like, thank you. Cool. And another thing.
What do I do with that?
Yeah, but like, you know, like the normal chance is 1 in 4. Figure out the timing right, like track cervical fluid, do keg, whatever. Second, quality of eggs, like 100%. Like guys, they have like millions of sperm and we select which one is actually cool. So, you know, here we go. But we have like one egg. And what really happens is that, you know, if the egg doesn't have a good quality, the body automatically doesn't let it implement. So, you know, like the body knows, like, you know, this embryo is like not that great. So, you know, like we just like will not let it implement. Or sorry, not embryo, fertilized egg. So, you know, you have to max your chances. And when you go with these process with the knowledge, like egg quality, I'll start 6 months before I'm trying to get pregnant. I get a timing right. Then when you're not getting pregnant in first half a year, you're not stressed because you understand the process and you understand your cycle. Because many women are frustrated after second month.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be. They just shouldn't be.
That right there is something that more, I hope you guys really heard that. Because I, without ever having gone through this myself, but watching friends and people I really love and are close to go through it, it does become a mental thing very, very quickly. And you start feeling like a failure and you start like really diving down this medical route very, very quickly because you think something's wrong with you. And maybe there, you know, there could be complications.
Yeah, maybe there is.
Maybe there are. But I think what you're saying, Christina, is that if you know more information, you will be able to manage your expectations in a much more reasonable way and not feel so shitty when you don't really need to.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a great way to put it.
The worst thing is like you go through it and you only know if you get a period or not. And that's your only piece of information. Mm-hmm. It's like the most anxious thing ever. But when you go there empowered and you at least know, I timed it right. I know for sure this and that. It looks better. And you know, like the more information you have, the less stressed you are. Mm-hmm. And that is also why we have a community where people can ask whatever, because we know it's really stressful.
Community for anything is, in my opinion, it's an underrated tool. People just want to be seen. They want to know that they're not alone. They want to be heard. They want a place to feel vulnerable and safe where people aren't going to judge them. This is amazing. Christina, you have given us such a gift in this world. My God.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see how this grows and what you're allowed, what information you were eventually allowed to start sharing, and the ways in which women can empower themselves and learn more about their, I mean, arguably the vagina rules shit. It really does.
We had this song called "Your Vagina Knows the Best."
Can you sing it for us? I don't think this episode would be complete without a little sing along.
Like sing like a dying cat, but we had it on Facebook. A friend of mine did their like rap song about it, and I was like, yeah, you know, because people ask like this and that, but like really, your vagina knows the best. And then of course, lovely Facebook, Instagram took it down.
No
adult content.
It is adult content. It needs to be shared with adults.
It is not like, you know, vagina is a reproductive organ, and it's like, this is like, it's normal, like it's anatomy part, like grow up,
totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it was taken down, and I was like so upset, but then I realized.
Some man took it down. I'm positive of it.
We can't have them thinking that.
Sorry, I went there.
Oh my god.
Yeah. This is a medtech company, so we had to spend a lot of money on research and certifications and so on. And you wouldn't believe, I had to pitch to investors.
Of course.
And you wouldn't believe that, I don't want to say majority of them, like most of them, they think that we pee from vagina. So I was, yeah, I know. You're laughing. And I was like, why is everyone asking me how we like sort out urine data from vaginal data? Like, it's like two different things. And then I realized they think we pee from vagina.
Oh my god. This reminds me of a TikTok. Did anyone see that TikTok of the guy who like they're all laughing about something, and there's two girls and a guy, and the girl's like, oh my god, stop, you're gonna make me pee. And the guy goes, oh, don't you have your period? Like, aren't you gonna get your tampon wet or something? And they're all like, who's gonna tell him? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to shame this kid, but like
yeah, but you know, like it's a kid, but you know, eventually like I talk to investors who funded a big company,
right? Like these are adults that you're talking to who don't know this.
They're married, have sex for tens of years, you know, and then okay, like cool. You know, I was shocked, but then I started to address it like before. By the way, they're also peeing stick tests for LH, you know, and those work, you know, like, so I didn't tell them, like, I think you think this, but I was like, and then there is a different part of human reproductive system, the vagina, where actually babies are made, you know, like, are from, not made, but.
Oh, Christina, way to hold it together, my girl, because I would have been like, are you fucking kidding me? You dildos don't understand this. This is why they're goodbye.
I don't want your investment.
Like,
get out of here.
Yeah, make it like really like my guess is like 8 out of 10 men think we pee from vagina.
I honestly, I have to tell you, I mean, and why? Why is that? They're never taught either.
They're not taught either.
Brian so many things. Because I just can't have it. Like, you need to know. You need to understand. God forbid, what if we ever had a daughter? Like, what if I'm not around? You got to know. Yeah. You got to know.
Yeah.
I have 3 sisters. My father knew. All he knew is he was looking for the box with the butterfly on it. That's what, for like pads and tampons, whatever it was one of us used. He's like, I don't know what they use. I look for the butterfly. Always. He had them stocked in the car. Oh. I mean, like always. Because you have to know. There's not another. Isn't that melty?
Cute.
It's so sweet. Yes. But if you don't have that scenario, if you're not a father of 4 daughters, you're not learning that. And you're not going to go out of your way to learn it. Why would you? It doesn't apply to you. I mean, arguably, I don't know a tremendous amount about the prostate, I guess.
It's because it's simple, Kylie. There's not much to understand. No, I'm kidding.
I think you might be right.
I was making a joke about the complexity of women versus men, and that's not entirely fair. I just like to joke about it, but sort of not really. Debatable.
You know, like, hence, ladies, that is why our space was so underfunded and overlooked. Yes. And we had smart tools for everything except vagina.
Right.
It's remarkable. Not anymore. This is amazing. Anymore, but, amazing, amazing.
Thank you so much, Christina. This was so fun and so informative.
We're going to have all of Christina's information and the recommendations for other education that she shared with us in the show notes. And we will also make a little mention about our little contest. But know that if you're watching this several days after we release it, you know, somebody already won.
So, there is a book and there is keg, free keg. So, you know, like you can.
That's insane. It's a great, you guys can't miss out on this opportunity.
I am going to make a new account and submit it so that I can.
So even if it is, even if you are listening to this a little bit later, still do it. Cause you never know. Maybe people are just listening later or whatever. So make sure you still post it. Get your chance to win either the book or keg. Again,
how many periods, how many times in your life do you on average bleed?
In your life. Yeah,
until you get your menopause.
In your lifetime. Life. That's the question. That's a little bit of homework.
So. Not up to now, but like in your whole life. Yeah. If you're not on birth control, because birth control is like a different thing. But like if you wouldn't be on birth control, how many on average would you bleed?
We want to hear your answer. Put it on social. Tag keg_tech, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
And tag Meg or I, and that way we can see too, because that'll be perfect.
Yeah, I want to, because it's going to be fun.
All right, guys. Christina, thank you so much, Christina. Thank you so much. Fun.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Curious Women. If you love our show, you can support us by leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And if you know someone else who would really love our show, please share it with them too.